Fantastic.
Welcome to the show. Jump into the conversation.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite subjects. You know, there's all kinds of science to prove the existence of intelligence beyond our comprehension, or you can call it God. It's just it's really hard to discuss it because almost all the subject matter is forbidden material. Darwin's book, for example, The Origin of the Species, he gives all the arguments why his theory isn't valid, and in one of the arguments he gives is if you ever find a life form that's evolved not through sequential means but through another matter altogether, my theory is completely invalid. But that theory isn't completely invalid because it's searching for scientific understanding. But as I say, there's tons of stuff, but every instance of science I've mentioned to you, there will be people out there that say, I'm talking about it, I don't know. Like electromagnetic energy, for example, we can split a photon and split it so one side goes 40 miles out, the other side goes another 40 miles out, and put two atomic clocks at the opposite ends, the change of polarity on one, the other half, instantaneously changes its polarity, so it indicates there's a timeless state to all electromagnetic energy.
So the electrons apart from each other, they flip at the same time.
The exact same time, and it's a property of electric. It's a property of energy, and Einstein teaches us that mass is sort of a property of energy. Mass is, you know, energy times square. So again, difficult subject to talk about, but yet the science does remain.
Just to bring it back, so Jimmy is going to go to jail.
Well, I was going to. That there's an order.
Well, let me take you back to.
Sure.
Do you make a connection between chaos theory and the existence of God?
Okay. Well, what is randomness without order? They're one of the same thing, and so we have. Order that we can witness through science is called irreducible complexity, and we can see that life forms come to be in a multidimensional construct. The intelligence of DNA in what they call horizontal gene transfer is done multidimensionally, but we're bringing that topic material because you can witness through NASA video. If you go to NASA and Tether in a search engine, you'll find video proof of energy fields that are conscious, that are moving along the shuttle. They have it on video, numerous video. You can see these things. Some of them are like 2 or 3 miles across. They have no mass. They're intelligent, and they give off light. And they've done spectacles in front of the shuttle, but we don't see it on the news. People at NASA talk about it, and a lot of them talk about how they kind of one person says that they airbrush that out. They don't want us to understand that there's tons of intelligence.
Theories, conspiracy theories.
No, we can see it itself. It's amazing video. Amazing. God is just though.
Amazing. Like,
God is real, and look how complex we get.
You know what I love about John's call, and I'm gonna get away from you, and we're gonna go to a break, is because there are dimensions of the universe in terms of science and understanding it, and you just heard a lot of it in what John was saying. You actually understood some of it. That's amazing to me. While I didn't catch the nuances of what he was saying, there's something and passion in people about discovering the universe and accepting that question. That's what I love about that caller.
Totally.
I love the passion. Carl is shaking his head. I don't think he understood exactly what he was saying, like me, but yeah, he's agreeing with me. He did not understand it all.
Thing to come back in, I just get so, it's just, I just cannot believe that the things that are going on, I mean, you couldn't make this stuff up. And it's going on in our country. We got a caller here. We'll deal with you. Why don't you go ahead, John, and our other guest here, and then we'll get on to what's really going on behind the scenes. What we can do about the solution. Anyway, go ahead, John.
Yeah, well, solutions for sure, and I think we can find them. You know, there are certain principles that we can all adhere to, you know, that serve the interests of all parties. It comes back to, like, the very basics of law. You know, Hammurabi says false capital accusers should be executed because they're leading you away from an actual crime scene. It is number one law, the first law of civilization. Really important principle because you can understand it serves all people's interest. So I'm listening to Counterspin, and they're doing a show that they did on Friday talking about the Commission on Presidential Debates. These guys dictate what the candidates can or cannot say during your so-called debate. And the number one rule they have there is the two opponents cannot talk to each other or give each other a direct question. That is like madness. Okay, why do they do this to us? It's because we don't have an ability to speak freely. That's not debate. That's a treason of God. Why can't they talk to each other? They can't give each other questions? Why? Because they're almost all of them are complicit in mass murdering American citizens with a crime that's completely revealed by the light of humanity. We know the Bush administration doctored the National Intelligence Act and they conned every single congressman with the highest act of treason imaginable to falsely trump up a reason for a war that wasn't called for. Now, on the weekend, the McLaughlin Hour or whatever, what's her name, comes on there and says, well, Bush did everything he could possible to avoid the Iraq War, and it's just a lie. I mean,
well, all the media is all lies and all hype, and that's not our subject today, but let me say this, too. They have really been going after Governor Sarah Palin.
Right.
And I am telling you, there are two areas that she is overqualified to.
Well, she lied directly when she said it was unprovoked. Russia's defense of the innocent civilian populace of South Ossetia. She's a demon liar.
Well, I'll tell you what. Nobody's going to get it all right, but
she wants to trick you. Lie your kids with a lie. It wasn't unprovoked. Tell the truth. Don't lie. Tell the truth. Why do you have to lie to your listeners? You show contempt for the value of their lives. Pardon me?
Obama isn't.
Well, Obama's not no great guy either. Obama wants you to kill more people in Afghanistan. Why don't you go up to the guys who perpetrated 9/11? That's where the true, brave, courageous men stand.
Well, I'll tell you what. One person hates the difference. She testified. She's corrupt establishment here. She's not perfect.
She didn't return the money. She didn't return the $400 million for the bridge to nowhere. She pocketed that cash. There's no accounting for that. Where'd the money go?
Because the senator is up on charges for doing some of that.
We're all criminals. We're all criminals. Okay, thanks.
Hate the Jews, and the Jews hate the Catholics, and there's all this supernatural sanction of this criminal behavior with... It's like George Bush praying to God, you know? How sincere is that?
Well, it's an act.
Well, the whole thing is.
Now, we have a caller. Would you like to take a call?
Oh, yes.
All right, John in Canada. John, are you on the line?
Hi, Gary.
Hi. I'm not a guy.
Oh, well, you know, it's a popular way of saying hi to my girlfriend, too. But, anyway, yeah, great show. Love the topic. You know, you'll find that all religions will conclude that God's will is just. If God is of all people, God's interest would be to treat ourselves fairly. So that's why you get, like, from Christ and Hillel, which is the founder of the Jewish religion, and Muhammad, saying in one fashion or another, treat others as you would wish to be treated yourself. And if we do that, we live in a better, just world, because you don't want to be put in a concentration camp, deprived of food and water, or have your house stolen. So it's very easy. So if you follow truth, you will see that there's a struggle for a path of justice or righteousness to be good with God, is to serve the interests of another. So all these terrible things in our world can so easily be remedied by just going by that principle. You look at Israel, you go, well, you're stealing an innocent person's home. I don't care what religion you say you're of. That's a criminal offense. That's an innocent person you're victimizing who could just as soon be myself or anybody else. So I'll speak for that innocent person you're putting into a concentration camp. And then there are people who get rewarded financially by lying. And we had Palin on Charles with us, her interview she did yesterday. And she said that her quote was...
We are being interrupted by a break. Please turn on John. What is that?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I was just going to make the point that Palin did an interview with Charlie Gibson, and she had said, quote, for Russia to have exerted such pressure in terms of invading a smaller democratic country, unprovoked, is unacceptable, unquote. Now, she knows, of course, Putin was interviewed on CNN, and he said, you know, We're just obeying our agreement that we have with South Ossetia, that if they come under attack, we will come to their aid. The commander of the Georgian military went on their television and said, we are going to war against, or we are going to war South Ossetia. And Mr. Putin quoted him verbatim, declaring this war. We have video footage of their military attacking schools, churches, all the hospitals. They say there was their death rate was, or death toll was at least 1,600 people. They killed 70 peacekeepers. So we're all fully aware of this, but anyone feels it financially within her interest to lie to the face of God. There's no, and it's just really, really subtle, but if you see the interview, you can see it in her face because Gibson says unprovoked, and you can see it in her face. Yeah, she wants to play that. Look, I'm going to lie like this, and because it's going to be really beneficial, a lot of Americans, and when she gave her speech at the RNC, she talked about how she wanted to, or she did ridicule Obama for suggesting a prisoner should have rights, and they all laughed. Same thing with community organizing. Let's laugh at Christ and be the Pontius Pilate, the governor, because these people have no real power. And I'm not saying that all the people of the RNC are despicably, let's just say, evil or whatever. I think it's just they're manipulated by suggestion. They don't know what to believe. They're like soldiers in many respects. They want leadership to really tell them what opinion they should have, because this stuff is way too difficult. When you talk about a simple principle as treating others as you would wish to treat yourself, to me, it's the simplest thing. I can explain it, I think, in a couple of seconds. But I see so many people murdered because they don't have that ability to just say, look, if you're a Jewish person, you wouldn't steal an innocent person's home because you would be an anti-Semite. Those who say Israel is Jewish are the true anti-Semites, because this is a criminal regime that pays from an innocent Christian family, an innocent Muslim family. And, of course, many Americans aren't even aware of that. They don't even understand that they go into a person's home at gunpoint and tell you to leave without your belongings, without your toys under your Christmas tree, and if you don't like it, you know, maybe they'll just shoot you. And they're paid, their salaries and their weapons are paid for by the American taxpayer. And Frontline years ago did a documentary showing how these people lose their homes. And if you knew that and you saw it, you'd say, that's an ungodly act. And then they say, you're being anti-Semite. No, those who practice such hatred for the Jewish religion are the true anti-Semites, because Jews don't treat others with disrespect as lovers of God containing the whole of all humanity. And this is the teaching of the Jewish religion, if you can believe it. This is the incredible thing about God being a property of order to chaos, is this struggle is eternal. These arguments have always been present as a way to defend ourselves, as Muhammad teaches, as Hillel teaches, and as Christ teaches, and a lot of other guys too. I mean, it's called the Golden Rule. If you type the Golden Rule, where you can get some magnificent books and all kinds of great stuff on the subject. But like I say, Poland on CNN, MSNBC, they refused to correct her. Now, this morning, they were all smiles. They played the audio, but they just wouldn't say it at all. They said, well, she did such a great job. Just as they told you before, and you know what hypnosis is, to suggest you, because I heard so many people go, yeah, Palin, she gave such a great speech, and that's all they told you, and really her speech was terrible. There was no addressing any of your terrible issues that are confronting your survival race. The speech was horrible. It was about denying people rights and ridiculing those who try to do community service. And I think the next day, or a couple of days later, I should say last night, they did a speech on service to your country. And Obama didn't think that was a good tool to go, look, they're ridiculing public service. No. He's going to play the game. He's all smiles because he wants to kill people in Afghanistan. He thinks that's the solution. And really, if we follow the crime scene leads at the real murder scene, which is what justice is and God would will, we know that this 9/11 was financed by General Mahmoud Ahmad, who was at the White House 2 days prior to 9/11 and was sent to the Taliban to let them know no evidence will be brought against the accused, otherwise an innocent man in Christ. And if you handed him over, you'd be going against Allah, and you wouldn't be supporting the victims of 9/11 either. So the Taliban are only guilty of supporting the defense of the victims of 9/11 by demanding evidence to form... Anyway, I don't want to go too long, because psychologically people can't deal with it, but I really love the show. I really love the station. What do you guys think?
very much.
Online too, go ahead, John.
Hi, yeah. Interpretation, you know, so much is dependent on the ears of the listener. You know, if I see romanticizing violence against somebody else, I'm going to see that as a concern. You know, a great example I have is that Johnny Wizard, the greatest rapper in the universe, showed us video of soldiers kidnapping children at random and beating them to death for pleasure. Now, somebody would say, well, don't show that video. You're showing innocent children being harmed. And the reflection is, no, you want to hunt down those soldiers that POV might say are heroes. But they're really not heroes. It's the censorship is a tool of tyranny. If we get rid of censorship and defend the rights of everybody, we're certainly going to be better served for it. You know, like I say, if you see romanticizing gangland warfare, it's going to show me when I perceive that we've got a serious problem here. Kids were carrying guns and stuff and thinking it's tough to not defend our innocent victims falling down dead, and they're shooting each other for nothing, like with Bloods and Crips in Los Angeles. They're killing each other.
Yes, Brad.
I'm hearing everything you're saying. You know, law stands strong for good reason, but if we have people who don't understand what the issues are to defend the reason why laws are in place, the bad guys escape scot-free, and I don't need to tell you, we've got all kinds of huge criminality, extending in every sphere imaginable that we look their peer into, because there's no accountability. Like, we have laws, like, you know, the subprime mortgage thing, for example. There's $800 billion in fraudulent, much of it very provable criminal theft. I don't know of a single person who's been arrested, but I can show you tool sheds in San Francisco that are selling for $700,000, you know. I can show you the info that they gave out loans to people with no identification or no job. They aren't helping out the illegal immigrants. They're helping themselves because they figure there's no way for us to find them accountable because nobody's going to enforce the laws that are on the books, but there's fraud that take place all over the place that just people are fearful of even. Like, it's hard to get people to understand, like, the hedge fund market quickly. You know, there was a scam that took place a couple of years ago through a few friends of Greenspan, and they actually criminally stole from you as an American, according to Frontline, approximately $4 trillion. You know, and with a whole hour of Frontline was devoted to it, Business Week did a front page to it, and you know, the guys that took the money, they're still living in wherever in Europe. The one guy they interviewed, one guy's living in a 50,000 square foot Italian marble mansion, and he said, yeah, well, you know, that's all the cookie crumbles, and that's, you know, he just walks away. All these people are walking away as thieves because the FBI's been undermined, the CIA's been undermined, everybody's being undermined because we're not sticking to the simple principles that all people share that are articulated in the Constitution. You know, you have to follow probable cause, for example. It's still one of the simplest things, but it's like life and death to try to encourage people to understand what's going on. You know, the FBI is now being ordered to, never mind probable cause, we're just going to look at everybody's emails and listen to their phone calls. I know it's against the law and everything else, but who cares? Who's there to defend ourselves? You know, and it's huge amounts of money.
I'm going to get in why that's going on here. Probably in the next hour, I'm probably just groundwork, and then you'll understand, and then you will start to see something that has been discovered by some people that are very brave people, where we can start to pound on these guys, these criminals, and get them out in the daylight.
But
it don't like daylight.
But that's the problem, is it's never like a Bush personally, or the White House, Bush personally doctored the National Intelligence Estimate. That's according to the FBI and the CIA and everybody else. But, okay, instead of going, Bush needs to be tried for a traitor in respect to that highly treasonous act, people go, well, you know, they don't want to get specific to who's ultimately responsible. Like, if they were these guys that stole $1 trillion, we have their first name, last name, and their home addresses. And there's nobody to go, this guy we need to get.
Tell you what, if you were actually going to start charging people with treason,
right,
it takes any time you bring the law forward, the Supreme Court says, and if there are two or more people, proceed forward, to violate the laws of the United States, that is just treason. You did that. It was on that premise, holding by the Supreme Court of the United States, you could almost without exception take down all of the Congress, On both sides?
Individually.
And the vice president.
But we should start at the top. Or we should start at the top. Who's making the decision? Like, who in the FBI would say, we're not going to follow probable cause anymore? It's McCasey or whatever. Well, I wrecked him. What do you think we're not following probable cause? And when he speaks, he's spoken on this issue, he doesn't have a clue. He doesn't have any understanding, just like Bush and McCain and Obama. Or no economics. I mean, they don't even know what they're talking about. The banker isn't covering the loan. You're being scammed. You know?
Hey, one thing, I am not, and I don't pretend to be an expert in any means.
You need to come
on, sir, but I can tell you one thing that I can most definitely discern is they are nationalizing the securities market, they're nationalizing the banking market and the insurance market, and when they repealed that Glass-Steagall Act, they allowed these criminals to all get to bed and really chase the numbers around with the futures, hedge funds.
Oh, well, for sure. AIG. AIG is the perfect company to look at. What they're doing is just what the Glass-Steagall Act getting rid of that. What they did is they don't, and with costs of the SEC, they don't have to cover 1/20th of what they borrow out. So they're borrowing out money. I'll borrow you $20. You've got to pay me back tomorrow or I'll fix your house. And I only give you $1. The American suckers are covering the other 19. And in the case of IEG, they've done so much of this, with everybody pocketing all the cash, who knows which way, they ran out of capital themselves. Do you know what they decided to do? They decided to lend themselves money. Think about that. They're lending themselves money. And then the Bush administration tells them, we're going to give them $85 billion. You know, and all these handouts go to people. And like I say, I know individuals that are actual trillionaires that have made themselves trillionaires in the space of like 6 years. You know, and they're walking away with all the cash. And I know what you're saying about socialized and all these isms. It's almost a diversion because it gets us away from the fact that these guys are escaping. So, we know the government can't, right now you can't even manage Social Security, which is a government program. You're only getting 2% of your deposits. And Bush uses it as a trust fund. He took $700 billion.
Get on to the core issues.
Lots of issues, yeah.
Let me get on to the core issues because obviously you know more about trading than I do with that, but they are nationalizing all of our economies, and when they do that, that's what Hitler wanted to do.
Right.
But not the.
But they got no skills at all.
Right here before our eyes.
Yeah, but Hitler could argue that.
He's being published, SEC, new rules were being broken, and they did nothing about it. And they're still doing nothing about it.
Hi, John.
Hey, go ahead, what's on your mind?
Well, you know, geez, I'm watching TV and, I'm looking at about the $700 billion bailout, and it seems, from what I understand, people really don't know what's going on. You know, the TV's not making an effort to have the Americans understand. You know, you're buying up a bunch of junk securities. You know, these are, in many cases, it's actually a criminal fraud. You know, you have, like, ninja loans, for example. There's no identification required, and no job either. So they're giving out money that you can't trace. So they're, and the people are against immigration. So they're giving it to the poor illegal immigrants. Well, they're criminals. They're obviously pocketing the money for themselves because there's no way to trace the cash back. There's no identification. They're not required to have an identification. Second part is
that part's gone.
Yeah.
The part you're talking about, who got these? The proceeds from these loans went to the sellers of the real estate. That's the illegal immigrants. What's happened? They went home with real estate.
Right. Little circle, right.
We're bailing out banks.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, for sure. And it's like a group like AIG, for example, they're lending money out to people. Americans just don't understand. They're only required to cover 1/20th of the loan. So if I'm borrowing you $20, I'm giving you $1. You say, well, I thought you were giving me $20. Yeah, well, the American public is going to cover the other 19. And you better keep up your payments to me, John, because I'm going to,
what you're saying is true, John. It's not well understood. I've talked to enough people in finance and insurance that come to understand it. Insurance companies make their money by being financial institutions and loaning money.
Right.
The insurance part of it, covering the car, your house, or whatever it might be, that's just where they get the capital to make their investments and loan money.
Right.
Insurance companies make their money by loaning money. That's how they make their money.
Yeah, and did you hear about AIG, what they did, is they were running low on capital, so they decided to borrow money for themselves. You know, isn't that interesting? You know, I don't have enough capital, but the American government is on the hook because they can't figure this stuff out. So I'm just going to borrow myself money because they're not required to cover the loan. Now, in other countries, not very many of them actually, but there's a few countries where the shareholder is the depositor. That's the way it's supposed to be if you rationally think this stuff through. But anyway, AIG gets bailed out by the Bush mob, and they get $85 billion. Now, what do you do? So they borrowed themselves money for additional capital. Now they want to be bailed out again. All they're swimming in is your money. And the TV's telling you about how you gotta help these guys, man, they're suffering. And they get all your cash, and all the people who have covered the loan, who take the loss for the loan, and you're not even gonna get the houses. You know that's gonna happen, right? They're gonna take possession of, or if there is any legitimate securities involved here at all, they're not gonna let these mortgage holders escape retribution. If you don't keep up your increased payments, that are almost impossible to do, they're going to foreclose on your house still. You know, all these people are, where's the help for all the people who are suckered into these?
I agree. But what's going to happen, there'll be icing on the cake. The icing on the cake will be a minor percentage bailout for American mortgage holders to make it look like something's been done for the man.
Right. And the main thing is that the value of these securities is, there's no way to determine what the true value is. Of course, it's probably near 10 cents, never mind 700 billion. But the most important thing is none of the criminal impropriety, like where you can actually prove criminal fraud, you can't in many of these cases. You have houses in San Francisco, or they're, I call them tool sheds. The cost of these properties is around $700,000. A Tina thing that looks like a tool shed for $700,000. It's understanding how they're able to flip these properties over and over in little tight circles, and you're always on the moving end of the American taxpayer because nobody's interested in defending the public's interest, because it's a difficult intellectual challenge to comprehend what is the public, who is that, you know, and so they take advantage of our weaknesses. But all these people who have committed all this criminal fraud, particularly with the ninja loans that we talked about earlier, where there's no identification, nobody's been arrested. I don't know of anybody who's been arrested in those scams. And yet,
there's another aspect of this, John. And the dollar amounts are almost beyond human comprehension. They're saying $700 billion. The final amount is going to be somewhere between that and $1 trillion. And that infusion of money into the system will dilute and make all the money in existence far less valuable. We call that inflation.
Absolutely.
This kind of dollar being put into the world economy could lead to a dramatic decrease in the value of the U.S. dollar and a dramatic increase back to the type of inflation.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you're looking for sure at a depression-type scenario where the banks, if they would keep the rules the same as they are now, well, times $700 billion by 20, and then in addition to that, the bankers aren't giving out any additional loans, so they're going to pull out all the remaining cash that's on the streets to keep up with the interest payments on those that are still holding mortgages. There's going to be no dollars. People don't want to work. People want to hire people, but there won't be no physical currency on the streets. Because the bank say, hey, we gotta regain our capital, and we're all gonna get run over here if we don't demand, you know, on a national level, you know, on national radio, national television.
What we demand will mean everything.
We're open debate. I mean, for people to understand,
the bankers and the government are gonna do what they want.
Yeah, but I watch CNN. I listen to Coast to Coast Radio. Nobody on there is telling people that the banker isn't covering the loan, and that's the first step. I think is that people have to understand that they don't cover the loan. It just makes, you know, it's crazy that they would be allowed to do this and then pocket all the cash for themselves, and then now we got to bail them out again. It's just lunacy. And like as lastly, I guess just the very last thing is to understand in very few countries, it's the shareholder is the depositor, and you can't do marginal loans. The only money the bank lends is what they hold. Is in countries like Iraq, or as it was, now the IMF has taken over that, and you can't do that anymore. The shareholder is not the depositor. It's the international guys, the billionaires. As the Iran inferior. So you don't have to, if being a Muslim, it means you're using your mind better to think for ourselves to serve the interests of the community before private individuals can come in there and pirate our authority. We should be looking out for our interests in the managing of our currency at our bank, not a private bank. It should be operating for the interests of all people who hold a share of value in the nation that supports the currency. So that's what I think it needs to be said.
Hey guys.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm from Canada. It's like a slightly different perspective. I personally would just say that I'm surprised often that those who champion all their breath to speak against illegal immigrants should be dealing with our justice for the Americans. The American people are being robbed every which way but loose. I mean, the Bush administration conned Congress, man. They adopted the national intelligence estimate to trick your kid for death. You know, that's pretty serious. But, you know, all we got to do is treat people equitably. You know, if Mexico is screwed over by the Rockefeller family and they did it, they wrote it down. I mean, I'm pretty sure they wrote a book about it, but we got his letters bragging about it. I mean, he decimated their peso and did it purposefully to make them suffer. So if we want justice and respect for these people, we should be fighting for, on their side. To, like, their election was rigged. We should have been demanding a fair election. CNN should be committed to their democracy, but hey, you guys got the diebold issues that aren't being addressed to you by the freedom forces. And, you know, you can't verify who voted for what. And a lot of people like it that way because, you know, McCain in New Hampshire got 000 in many writings according to the Boston World, and they just flipped the numbers around it. Who's going to pay attention?
Well, I think, John, when you're fighting a war on all fronts, like they can get the force, and we're having to charge in all directions, because there's just so many problems, and all of them almost equally serious, it's hard to kind of prioritize them, John. So, Winston, would you like to comment on that? Very, very good point, John. And thank you for the call.
Sure.
The issue that he brought the diebold voting machines, he's absolutely right.
Go ahead, please, John, from Winnetree.
Can I have a long term too, please? Hello.
John?
Hi. Yeah, lost the issue there, Warren Carter. Try to put it all together, but you know, I was watching CNN and Bush is telling you the $700 billion buyout, yeah, could be a benefit for yourselves in the long run. And really the problem here is people just don't understand what's even transpiring. You know, a lot of this money was made with fraudulent criminal loans. You know, there are websites dedicated to practical tool sheds in San Francisco that go for near $700,000. And because the private bank isn't on the hook for the initial loan, they don't care who they give it out to. They give it out to people with no identification and no job. So you got no chance of ever paying them back, but they give it out. And guess why? Because you're on the hook. You know, so you're not going to, Bush has no idea what's going on, and yet he has this assumption that somehow you're going to win by giving out $700 billion, and you initially are responsible, you as a taxpayer of America, are the person who's essentially guaranteed the loan because we have fractional reserve banking, but it's in your name that the loan is initially made out, and now you're expected to bail them out when you figure that's for sure going to go to the people who have houses. No, it's going to who? To the shareholders? I mean, if you've initially covered the loan, and now you're buying the loan back, why are you giving these guys $700 billion? To me, it doesn't make any sense, but I think mathematics is really what we got to stick with. All the isms are based on ideology, and ideology is generally has a self-confessed blind side to it, and with McCain telling you he's a fundamentally deregulator, well, you can't tell people to, you don't have to obey traffic signals anymore. You just drive right through a red light, and you know what will happen. There's a bunch of people getting car accidents, people will die. So good laws make good sense for good reason, you know, and so people are thinking, well, it's the communists like you were just saying. I mean, a lot of these isms are you can call them left-wing, right-wing, and it all depends on how badly we're all getting screwed over by illegal acts going unaddressed, unarrested. Some of these people have committed criminal acts, and they haven't gone arrested, and yet, you know, we're expected to bail out somebody. Doesn't make sense to me.
Okay, we're going to break on.
Okay.
And we'll be right back.
To me that the American people might have a criminal syndicate that a lot.
Have you ever seen the tape?
No.
No?
No, I haven't got a chance. I've read much of his writing, and actually, at the lecture, I had him contacting me today, actually, at coincidence with Abbott.
What, you talked to Mike Rupert?
Well, I had made an attempt to reach him yesterday regarding the research that I've done, and he got back to me today. But I unfortunately wasn't here to take his call, so I'll have to wait for him to call back again. But awesome, that was amazing.
But he actually phoned you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I know he did a Canadian tour of a couple of universities, and he never made it here. But he did Edmonton, Calgary, and I think Toronto.
Mm.
So it'd be nice to get him here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, he covers a lot of the CIA and angles and the stock option trades that were taking place on the two airline companies.
Right.
Insider trading, clearly implicating somebody who did those trades was in on the terrorist act itself, and Bush made every attempt to ensure that those people wouldn't be apprehended.
Yeah, oh, I know.
Yeah.
I know, when you watch this tape, I mean, it all kind of makes sense in a way. Like, because he isn't, Mike Rupert is not a nut.
No.
By any means. He's a very smart guy.
Yeah.
And you watch his tape and you just go, geez, you know, something's going on.
Yeah. Well, the case is pretty much, like, from my perspective, it's pretty much sewn up. Like, all the evidence stands, irrespective of opinion, documented as proven fact. It's just being able to communicate it to others and to make it as simple to understand as well. Like, a lot of people, like an example, a great example is NBC. They had been provided, on a condition of anonymity, top secret presidential directive documents outlining a plan to attack specifically Afghanistan with a prerequisite of blaming Bin Laden for a crime but providing no evidence. Existing as these documents did 2 days prior to 9/11 at the White House. I was just even communicating that thought. It's a few, there's a few words there, but it's just trying to figure a way that people understand what that means. It's to say that prior to 9/11, Bush wanted to attack Afghanistan, and the strategy they implemented, as documented provable fact, as a presidential directive, as official as it gets, were that they were going to blame Bin Laden for a crime, but provide no evidence to prove that to anyone.
Right.
And this would give them a justification of going into Afghanistan and building a liquefied natural gas pipeline for Bush and his Enron pals. You know, a lot of people don't know, like everybody has heard of Enron pretty much, you're paying it all attention to the news, but a lot of the people involved in Enron are part of the upper echelons of power in his administration.
Right, like Cheney and
the biggest guy is Thomas White. Now, he was, the Nation magazine did a series of articles on this individual, and he's just a wicked criminal. Like just
Thomas White, never heard that name.
Yeah, well, he stole like billions of dollars from Americans, their pensions, life savings. An American soldier, he'd steal their cash, no problem, like from their parents, anybody. If he could get money to hand on your cash, he'd do that. And in addition to him being the chairman of Enron, he's also the Secretary of the Army.
Oh, great.
Yeah, and his official duty as the Secretary of the Army is bookkeeping. And that's the thing. You know, we hear Bush going on about corporate responsibility when this guy, you know, the Nation magazine, now they're fairly out there in political views. Like they stand on a lot of science and reason, and they got a lot of words too.
Right.
They've gone on and on about how they demanded this person be immediately thrown out of office and criminally charged on their front page, you know, over and over again. And yet, no effort is being made to apprehend this individual, of which there's just tons of evidence.
Right.
And similarly with this Afghanistan, and you know what, when Rupert was saying there, Bush has got no alternative but to continue forward, he's absolutely, I concur completely with that.
Right.
Like, his transgression against humanity is with Afghanistan, and they'll do anything and everything to push on and to continue to move that media monster.
What about Iraq, though? Don't you think he's going to attack Iraq in the next few months?
Well, yeah, and that's part of why now we're not, well, not that our news agencies have been responsible as they should have been during this Afghanistan war, but now it gives CNN an excuse to not talk about Afghanistan anymore, of which they've done so very little of.
Right.
But the idea here is, so he has this plan that NBC reveals, and in addition to that, we remember him going, well, he doesn't need, or... When the Taliban asked the Bush administration for evidence, his direct quote was, "We don't need any evidence, we know he's guilty." He didn't provide any evidence to the public based on any criminal leads, but told us that top secretly he had special information that he couldn't divulge to the public, and we were expected to obey him as our slaves to him as our deity, apparently, because he knows better than everybody else.
So, since then, though, the British government has made those top-secret documents public, of which Bush would never have expected that to happen.
Right.
And inside those documents contain no evidence. There is no evidence in those documents but conjecture and, you know, Bin's a really bad guy. But again, so, as he has a plan to attack Afghanistan. He closes the criminal investigations. This was according to Tom Daschle and Reuters, that Bush and Cheney both urged him to stop investigations. He seized as much evidence as he possibly could, you know, while telling us, but he knows for sure who the criminal is, and we don't have to look any further. And then, of course, this is being divulged now as non-existent. And the we have to wrestle with bigots all the time. They go, well, you're a Muslim fundamentalist. No, you're in support of the apprehension of the true terrorists. You know, you don't want to let them get away unapprehended. And a lot of FBI officers, police officers, you know, anybody who's in law enforcement knows these simple ideas of evidence being a requirement to convince or to convict someone of a crime.
Right.
You know, so there are legitimate FBI officers, and one of the strongest cases that they've made public that we never see in the newspapers and we never see on the news is regarding Mohammed Atta. He was the alleged head terrorist. He received a wire transfer of $100,000 from a General Ahmad who was meeting with the Bush administration 1 week prior to 9/11, two members of the Senate Intelligence Committee, in fact, and he hasn't been apprehended. He's the principal terrorist under the alleged head terrorist who was meeting with these people who now, today, will tell us behind closed doors if they find anything strange about that relationship, of which they'll have no comment, of course, and Bush is counting on our news agencies not sticking up for ourselves as individuals, and that's really the big fight here, is convincing people who work on behalf of our communities at news agencies to stand up as individuals and say, hey, I got equal rights too, and I'm not going to sacrifice my rights so Bush can pirate our authority and go out and kill people indiscriminately.
Right.
You know, one of their plans in Iraq is to bomb Baghdad. Well, what if the people in Baghdad don't like Saddam Hussein? You know, according to the UN Special Panel on Iraq, they say there's no biological weapons there, there's no nuclear threat. But none of that matters. All it is he needs to keep continually pushing forward. Criminal escapades or not, he knows that he can't stop. And it's up to us as individuals to say, well, we got it. There's going to come a time, either he's going to nuke us all, or we're going to stop him from continually murdering us off one by one, you know?
Yeah, it's not just Bush. There's guys above Bush.
Well, it's fear. Here's a great example. An example that I really like to use quite often. Are you familiar with Colleen Rowley?
No.
Yeah, well, she filed a formal complaint on behalf of FBI officers from Minneapolis regarding Massawi. He's the alleged 20th hijacker.
Oh, okay.
So they had filed a warrant to seize his computer to look for evidence. And when they filed the warrant to FBI headquarters, somebody at headquarters sabotaged that warrant. They removed critical information and reworded what was remaining. So complaint reached the public news practice, like CNN, they said it was a failure to connect the dots, insufficient funding. But she stated quite clearly that wasn't the case. And when those FBI officers from Minneapolis pressed for a criminal investigation, it was Ashcroft that stopped it. And in day two of her testimony, it was Ashcroft again who stood up and told us that a nuclear city was about to be nuked by the dirty bomber.
Right, yeah, I remember that.
The thing was, he had been in custody for over a month previous to him making that announcement.
Right.
And then it turned out that it was only based on some loose talk. And then the story was over, but of course, Colleen Rowley never got to address her main concern. So we're talking about, you know, there's so many people. Well, I think it's just Ashcroft in that particular context. He didn't want Colleen Rowley to be able to speak on that issue. And it wasn't that the whole Congress was in on this huge conspiracy to back Bush, but that people are fearful, and it's difficult for people to say outright, you know, I think you're implicated in this crime, because there's always room for doubt.
Right.
You know, that's just a function of reality. Nothing's absolutely certain. So if people are desperate enough and they have some fear, they can say, well, maybe I'm incorrect on that. I don't want to jeopardize my job. I don't want to jeopardize my security even. And I'll just let him continue on with what he's doing. And as a consequence, if everybody continues to do that, you know, Mr. Bush will walk in between us and steal our money and kill us all off one by one. You know?
Yeah, no kidding.
So it's pretty scary stuff in some respects, but, you know, there are a lot of people that try to do what we can. I mean, if you spend any time on the internet, and there's a Usenet traffic, these are public discussions that people have around the world, you know, I'd wager to bet at least 85-90% of that discussion is all about Bush's criminal complicity and atrocity.
Right.
So you've got such a huge amount of people that are aware of this information,
right,
yet still we're confronted with the paradox of watching CBC News, and they're not, they're making...
They're not on top of it.
Yeah.
They're not even trying to be on top of it.
Yeah.
There's no question, like, it's all, it's, yeah, the CBC is way too mainstream.
Yeah.
They think they're the, you know... They think they're the hip network, but they're not.
Yeah.
Well, they're not even exploring the stuff. Like, right. where's Mike Rupert on CBC with an even an interview?
Right. Well, even Noam Chomsky even.
Noam Chomsky. He was on CBC News World a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, on Norman Show.
Yeah, and which I thought was excellent.
Oh, I know.
What are the news groups where some of these discussions take place?
Oh, well, just about quite a few of them. Like, there's all...
Is there anything specific? Oh, there is? Okay.
All conspiracy, all... Like, just about anything. I mean, these groups, the Republican groups, it just goes... military groups are really fine.
Just go out and work there.
Yeah, like, even just all American military...
You know what? I find some of the discussions in the middle of some of the music groups... Yeah, just music groups. So you'll find a thread starting on something like that. It's all over the place.
Yeah. And it's bad news on every angle. Like, people will go, well, okay, maybe he killed these people in New York City, but look at all the good he's done for the people in Afghanistan. And it's just not the case. The Northern Alliance, the new government there, still practices the barbarity of Sharia law.
I know. People said... they're all nuts over there. The Taliban and the Northern Alliance.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and you certainly can't bomb them into civility either. He's killing them.
No.
It's not going to make them any smarter.
No, exactly. Yeah. Didn't you say that to Hitler, too, though? He did good.
Oh, yeah. Well, it's strange that Bush is so much like Hitler in many respects. It was found out after World War II that it was Hitler that burned down the Reichstag, right?
Right, exactly.
And he blamed it on the terrorists and went around the world killing people in different countries.
Except I don't think Bush has the charisma that Hitler had.
No,
the hypnotic,
not even.
The hypnotic, speaking of which, Joe, I've just got a video of Coffee, A Triumph of the Will.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've been wanting to get a copy of 3 years.
What's that on?
Sorry?
Triumph
of the Will was Lenny Riefenstahl's documentary of the 1939 rallies.
Oh,
really? And some of the more famous propaganda clips that you ever see on TV are taken from this film. And it's just unbelievable. Have you ever read a book called Spear of Destiny?
No,
you got to get that.
Yeah.
It's by a guy named Trevor Ravenscroft. It'll blow your mind.
Yeah.
This might be the most diabolical one yet. Yeah. What we're talking about here, but this is pretty diabolical.
Yeah. Well, it's strange too. You can learn so much just from participating in this 9/11 situation and seeing how the media moves the way it does.
I personally think. And it's not for the purpose of getting arguments with anyone, but I think the media just—I tend to think they know too much, or they want to know too much. I don't know that we necessarily need all this information,
right,
slamming us in the face all the time,
right?
Too much info.
I
understand why you kind of need people above board passing the information along, but you see how they manipulate the information and. You would know this more than we would, but I mean, they manipulate the information, they bastardize the information, they misinform, all kinds of stuff. And I'm just like, a lot of us are just basic people. I don't need to,
Well, yeah, like, that's the thing. I mean, the universe, there's so much information out there, and how do you discern what is important and what isn't?
And right, and what's valid.
Yeah, and I guess that's part of what I'm doing, too. I guess if there's anything that should be a priority, it should be wars, for sure. Like, if we're going to be going out in our names, advocating our rights to murder people, for whatever reason, be it legitimate or otherwise, it should be covered completely, like, as well as it can.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, because everything leads to everything. Like, in this case, you're talking about Afghanistan and a liquefied natural gas pipeline and Enron's connection to the Bush administration and evidence and the British government. And, it easily becomes quickly overwhelming.
But I'll tell you my... Hey, who shot JFK?
I don't know.
We want more info on all this WorldCom stuff.
Yeah.
I can't believe those guys are getting away with this.
The Enron guys haven't even been charged.
Right. I know, it's stunning. Gene was wasn't in there somewhere.
Yeah, well, he owns stock in Enron.
Right.
Stock holder at Rumsfeld.
Yeah.
And Lawrence Lindsay is was a member of the board. Lawrence Lindsay is the economic advisor for Bush, and he's also board of the Enron.
I honestly think this is what I feel, at least, even though I can't stand Bush as a president. I know he stole the election and got in there, but I don't think it was him. Like, I think it was his dad. I think it was James Baker. I think it was Rumsfeld, Colin Powell, all those guys above him. Bush, George W. reminds me of Ronald Reagan, who was,
really a straight.
He was the top editor for George Bush and the CIA.
Well,
the same thing with George W. He's the dumb, he was the dumb college kid that drank too much and, got into power. They put him in there.
Yeah.
They knew he was the personality that Americans like.
Yeah.
Right? They did the 9/11 thing to get him more popular, give him a cause. Things are happening. It's way above just Bush.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that partially. Like I would assume for sure it would be Rumsfeld.
But he's not that smart, is what
yeah.
I'm saying.
Right.
There's smarter people ahead of way above him that are pulling the strings.
Yeah, but he would know for sure that there was no evidence in those secret documents, and that he personally contacted Daschle to close the investigation.
Oh, I'm sure he knows. They've informed him. They brought him in and said, okay, this is the story. This is what's happening. You're going with it.
Right.
Here's the ball. Run with it.
Right.
And it's these other guys, too.
Yeah.
It's a whole, I call it the Illuminati. Call it what you want. But there's someone else pulling the string.
Yeah. Well, I think it's just, for sure. But I think, to settle this, it would be fairly easy. If there were open and honest discussions, I believe most American voters would quickly side for justice for all and requested the media arrest to face charges for massive conspiracy and playing a role in this 9/11 tragedy. But do you know the situation of his behavior on September the 11th?
No.
Well, on the morning of September 11th, he's leaving his hotel room, and the first plane hit the first tower. And outside the hotel, he's approached by John Cochrane of ABC News with Peter Jennings, and he's asked by John Cochrane, he says, well, are you aware of what's going on in New York City? He says that he is, and then he'll have something to say about it at a press briefing later on. He gets into his motorcade, and in his motorcade, it's been reported that he received news that there had been a hijacking and a plane flown into a building.
Right.
Then he goes to a school of which he's going to participate in a reading.
Right, I remember seeing the school footage.
Yeah, he gets to the school, and he tells us that later when he's speaking at a conference of some kind. He says that before he even entered the school, he had witnessed the plane hitting the building. But he says he attributed to pilot error. So he gets into the school, and he's already been notified three times, outside the hotel, in his motorcade, outside the school, and yet it's a shock to him to have been told, whispered in his ear for the second time that another plane had been hit. If you had this huge terrorist act taking place, you wouldn't think that he'd just continue on with his scheduling, but he did. And then after he was told about the second tower, he remained sitting there for 20 minutes. In absolute devotion to listen to this child reading about goats. So you're trying to figure out why is he acting like that?
Right.
And my theory is that he didn't know when to get out of the role he was playing because he had known about this and he had to practice this form of deception like he was out of the loop, but he didn't know when it was time to react.
Yeah, I actually never done the day of seeing the clip in the school where he talked about just learning that second plane hit the building. And I remember thinking, we all saw the footage of the guy lean over and tell him, and then we saw the look on his face when he put his phone up, and I thought, I would be getting up and basically having one of my aides say the president was asleep. There's something going on and he's got to deal with. Sorry, kids, we'll come back.
Sorry, grade three kids. They're not going to...
I remember thinking how the guy could sit there for 5, 10, 15, 20 minutes, let alone 20 seconds. That's when you get up and go, obviously, you need to make some phone calls.
Yeah.
You know what I just found out? I told Joe this. Earlier this week, I just heard on CNN that they've only just recently implemented a plan where air traffic controllers have a direct line to the military to scramble planes. And that was only just coming in now, and I'm going, you mean they always haven't had that? Ultimately, the air traffic controllers only within the last couple of weeks got the direct line to the military?
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, well, that's actually not completely true. They're trying to downplay the fact
they
that,
are.
Yeah, that they had standard procedures in place for over 40 years on exactly what an FAA worker does when a plane is could possibly be hijacked. And if any kind of communications are down, they immediately inform the military, and it's through what's called the NMCC. I'm not as familiar with this as I should be. There's a group website called emperorsclothes.com, okay. And they cover this in great detail. But the only way for that mechanism to shut down is through Rumsfeld's personal office. It's only at the request of the Secretary of Defense that communication process would stop.
Right.
And that's never been reported. And on that day, according to Rumsfeld's own secretary, he avoided the office. He never even went to the office. So it seems to me that he knew that if anything should ever come of this, if CNN reporters should actually try to stand up as true Americans committed to the principles of the American flag, he'd have an excuse to say he wasn't present in that office during that time. So he never made an effort to get to that office, of which he knew would be that he's been in that Pentagon for, what, 30 years. He knew that he had to be at that office during this critical time of when planes were being hijacked, but he avoided it like the plague. That again is another sign.
And there's a million signs.
Yeah,
except that I don't think this is the sign like the vice president kind of knew beforehand that somebody was going to take JFK's life. I don't think it's that type of a sign. There was something else going on, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe these guys really did have scrambled brains and just didn't know. I mean, I heard something the day of that I thought was funny. Somebody was talking just about, you know, did we fail to, you know, secure the country properly? And somebody else said, I think we had an imagination failure. We failed to imagine anybody could do this. And I remember thinking, yeah, that's actually a pretty true statement, I think. You know, we don't grow up in a society that thinks that you can, you know, that this is the sacrifice you will make. And I think that's obvious. Everyone knows that, you know.
Yeah, but again, with the FAA workers themselves, like they, that's the thing, is that we fall into routines, and we, you know, this is so out of the ordinary for us that we could easily see that, you know, we wouldn't be prepared to deal with it as well as maybe we should have in second sight.
Okay, but in light of what you were saying also about they've always had a plan implemented, they're
right,
able to scramble planes. What about even the small planes that kind of got into the restricted air zone over the White House when they didn't get the plane scrambled in time? I mean, what happens there?
Yeah, well, you know, those are really good questions, but you're talking about commercial airlines that are in direct communication with air traffic control at all times and monitor for airspace as they know where they are and what they're doing. So I guess the thing, the transponder shut off for almost, what is it, I can't remember, I think it's almost 2 hours.
But
no aircraft is set up to intercept.
And here's another thing you ought to agree with me on. One of two things. Why is it so expensive that you can't hire one or two guys to kind of hide in the airplane with guns who can come out in the proper time? Or, what is the big deal with our major pilots? I mean, what is the big deal with that?
I think it's the idea of just having a gun on board.
Yeah, but this is the kind of thing you never have to let anyone know.
Right. Well, there's a lawyer, his name's Stanley Hilton, he's the former aide to Bob Dole. He has sources with the FBI, the CIA, Naval Intelligence, and the NSA. And he suggests that he's filed a $3 billion lawsuit against Bush, implicating him for 9/11. But he says that those airplanes had what is termed global hawk technology. And what this is if a plane should ever get hijacked, they can control it from the ground by remote control and shut off the controls from the pilots. So there's nobody on the plane that can control the plane anymore. So he's a bit of an ingenious guy there. So his lawsuit is that the Bush administration didn't implement Global Hawk to save those airplanes and let them crash. Of course, I don't believe that that's what he really believes. But maybe, you know, I don't want to talk about his case or anything, but I'd imagine that that's a reverse of what he really believes. But a lot of suggestions is if he has evidence showing that Global Hawk was on those planes, well, then a lot of questions are answered.
Exactly.
Like, you know, we, there's a, Muhammad, there's no way he was on that plane, but it just takes a lot of time to explain. But one of the things is, one of the pieces of evidence that's been confiscated is flight manifests of how many, or who the people were on board those four tragic flights.
Yeah.
And the reason is, flight 11, there was 92 people on board, but through CNN, they tried to reunite the families and had their website set up to put all the people together. Mm-hmm. And all soon we discovered that we had a list of 89 people who were on board that flight. So there's no room for five terrorists to be on board, because there's only three seats remaining. And, you know, how did the terrorists board a flight without purchasing any tickets?
Right.
And then we had eight of the alleged terrorists are alive and well in Saudi Arabia without any criminal affiliations. And that's a huge story.
All this will be like, you know, it'll unfold in the next few months, I'm sure.
I hope so.
And there's so much talk about this, but like, what, like, if it's that obvious, like, where's the proof of all
this? Yeah, well, that's the thing. And like I was saying, there's three pieces of evidence that are extremely strong. There's the NBC prior plan to attack Afghanistan by blaming waiting for a crime without any evidence.
There's the stock market thing.
Yeah, but that's a little harder to trace it down. That is good. I haven't spent
money. That is a good one.
Yeah, that is
an amazing one.
Yeah, it's just there's so few people that know the intricacies of how that system works, though.
Right.
But so there's this plan to attack Afghanistan. Then Bush passed a directive titled W199I, and this was just prior to 9/11, forbidding the FBI from pursuing Bin Laden and Al Qaeda. And we understand that his strategy dictated he didn't want any evidence implicating him for any crime. So the idea there was, just, you know, Satan forbid, he would have been compelled to have to actually arrest Bin Laden for a criminal offense,
Right. Reporting
his intention of going into Afghanistan. Because if we remember, the Taliban actually offered that. They said, well, listen, if you've got evidence against him, we'll extradite him. You know, the Taliban, of course, standing on the very principle of the American flag in support of the apprehension of the true perpetrator by following the criminal lease. And the third piece of evidence, which is huge, is from the BND. The BND is a German intelligence agency, which is comparable to the CIA.
Right.
And they work through Echelon, which is a bunch of different intelligence agencies around the world that share information to try to stop these sorts of things from taking place. And they tell us now in German newspapers, and it's been reported in Europe, that they contacted Bush in June, prior to 9/11, June the 6th it was, informing them that they were aware of a Mossad Al-Qaeda terrorist plot to hijack American airplanes to be used as weapons and flown into American buildings. So they were on top of this case in June. And this is as legitimate as any intelligence agency gets.
Yeah.
And of course, Bush told us he had no idea that this was taking place, and the Israeli military, of which I'm not aware of, although there might be some of this information out there, I don't know, but I'm not aware of the Israeli government or the Mossad making any attempts to inform the administration or the FBI or the CIA that they were aware of this terrorist plot that was about to go down. So those three pieces of information in and of themselves, knowing that Bush was informed that there would highly likely be a terrorist plot involving Al-Qaeda, shutting down the investigation, which incidentally the head of the FBI for Al-Qaeda investigations resigned in disgust over that directive. His name is John O'Neill.
Yeah.
So they shut down FBI investigations, then they put a strategy together demanding that there be no evidence, and this would give them justification to going into Afghanistan and building a liquefied natural gas pipeline, which of course would only serve the interests of Enron's power plant in India and their own greed and hatred against the people of Afghanistan, because the contract that the Taliban had negotiated for Afghanistan was from a company named Bridas, B-R-I-D-A-S. And this is what really pissed Bush off. As soon as he learned about this, they knew that they'd have to go to war because Enron was facing their impending criminal bankruptcy. They're going down for sure now without this liquefied natural gas pipeline. So the Taliban had got this deal for Bridas, which is just far better. The contract is just far superior in every way. They're going to give access to electricity for the people in Afghanistan. And Bush's plan is export only, no access for the people who live there. So
right.
That's the whole, you know, you get all that information together in a short 20-minute story on CBC, and, I mean, people wouldn't be so excited about breaking the backs of the Taliban anymore, that's for sure.
Right.
You know?
Okay, on that note, you know what? We're going to play more music now.
Okay.
I'm getting tired.
Yeah, okay.
Even though I'm into it.
Yeah, well, that's about all.
They're awesome. Well, they might be.
But you know what?
My view on it is, they're still guilty.
Hey,
you know what? They shot JFK. Yeah. They blew up the World Trade Center.
There's something going on.
We don't know. Yeah, something's going on. There's too many things pointing to it. You know, Jack Ruby didn't kill Lee Harvey Oswald for nothing. You know? something was going on. So it's the same kind of thing, and it's just a matter of putting all the pieces together eventually and coming up with something. And I'm sure Bush knew, so there you go.
Yeah. Oof. Okay, well, thanks a lot, guys.
All right.
All right.
Get here, Johnny.
Okay.
Here's a song called Smoke and Mirrors.
Cool.
Let's go for a cigarette, George. Hey, John.
See you, guys.
All right.